episode 369 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So, M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Megan?
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I am very much looking forward to going on spring break next week. So
Is that a thing? Still?
It's our last spring break as a family where my son actually lives in the house and doesn't attend college.
We never had spring break, like, at least, like, in high school. Like, Joey, do you ever remember, like,
No, I had it in college, and I was like, I don't understand. Like, I remember, MTV spring break.
Yeah, but I remember in high school, we never had anything like that. So, but I feel like that's more common now. Like, I hear a lot of people talking about spring break, like, just everywhere. I wonder if that's something we missed out on. Kind of like when my parents got a dishwasher after I left. I feel like I missed out on that.
You missed out on that lived-in dishwasher experience.
Yeah, because for years, I have a dishwasher. And for a whole year before I moved in, or after I moved in, I did not use my dishwasher because I didn't know how to use it. And it frightened me. And I thought I'd rather do the dishes, which is what I normally do. So that's what I learned. Anyway.
Actually,
my mom used to pay me $1 to do the dishes. So that's why I never used it.
Oh, we never got paid. We got yelled at to do it, though. Okay.
I actually like doing dishes because I find it, and the same way with cooking, I find it kind of a zen thing. Like it's one of those things where I definitely turn my brain off and just kind of, I don't know, it's the feeling of the soap or the sounds of the suds or something like that. The problem with it is that our sinks are kind of low and I'm a little bit taller and I have to stoop my back to get close to it. And all of a sudden it gives me back pains. So we use a dishwasher all the time. We run that thing about 3 times a day.
Really?
Yeah, I run ours like once a day.
Oh, I'm experimenting with not using it again right now because my electric bill went up. And I think it's because I was using it. So I'm kind of doing an experiment and not using it this month to see what happens. This is dishwasher talk with the 3M.
I wish I had some silverware to clink around, but I don't have any.
I know, we could do an ASMR dishwasher podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what sound came to mind.
No, I was thinking the same thing when you talked about suds and bubbles. I was thinking like just having the water run.
I'll never forget the first time I heard I'd never heard of ASMR. And my son, somewhere around 10 or 12, he started watching or listening to ASMR videos that would help him go to sleep.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I'm like, I hear the phone, he didn't have AirPods or anything like that. So he just had the phone on his nightstand plugged in, but it was constantly playing. And all of a sudden I come in there and I hear, now you touch the bottle and you open the cap and it goes, and I'm like, what the fuck are you listening to?
Oh my God. That's funny.
I'm like, what is this, porn? Are you listening to
seriously?
Porn?
Seriously. Like,
no,
that.
Man, it's ASMR. And I'm like, what is that? What kind of porny stuff is that? I was very embarrassed. Anyway,
I have actually on your road trip with your son, I think you need to go through the greatest hits of when you talk about cow on the podcast.
No. Those things stay away from his ears. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, that road trip. I don't know how that's going to go. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I just really wish that the American train system was a lot better because I'd love to go from city to city on a train.
I haven't done city to city, but I did Pittsburgh to Chicago and it was so much fun. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to from DC to New York on a train, but they're just, they stop so many times. It takes so long and I don't know. We need bullet trains over here.
Then you won't get to enjoy anything. Be like, I can't say that's anything.
All right. So this week we're taking a little bit of a hiatus. We've got a lot of things that we're working on. We've got a lot of things that we were watching and absorbing and making opinions on. But we're not most of everything that's coming out in the next couple of weeks before the end of the Emmy season is currently under embargo, or we haven't caught up with. So instead, we're going to take a little bit of a pause, and Joey has concocted a special quiz for Megan and myself. So Megan and I will face off and see who becomes the champion of, I don't even know the subject, so we'll let you, Joey, talk about the subject. But and then, of course, after that, we'll wrap with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. Joey, so I'll hand it off to our MC.
So the subject is humpback whales. And no. So it's Emmy. It's Emmy. Humpback whales. It's Emmy trivia, but sort of has a filter of things that we may or may not be talking about in this upcoming Emmy season. So I guess you'll sort of understand that when you kind of hear the questions. So I guess who would like to go first? I could toss a coin.
Well, we usually do a number from 1 to 30 or something like that.
Okay, so I will pick a number between 1 and 30. And Megan, what is your
28.
Guess? Clarence?
10.
Megan is closer. The number is 22.
All right.
Really? Okay.
Megan goes first.
All right. Megan. Ketanji Brown Jackson is still awaiting her confirmation vote. What Supreme Court justice once hosted the Emmys? A. Harry Blackmun. B. Sandra Day O'Connor. C. John Paul Stevens. Or D. Earl Warren.
What?
These are all multiple choice.
I'm going to say Sandra Day O'Connor.
You are incorrect.
Are you serious that somebody hosted
Earl Warren hosted the third Primetime Emmy Awards in 1951.
That's insane.
Wow.
That
you
is
mean,
insane.
You mean like the Warren Commission, Earl Warren?
Hold on. Earl Warren Emmys. I had a page up and I lost it.
Like Cokie Roberts' father?
I saw it on a... No, I saw it on, I was wondering if I could think of 10 questions, and I was like, just in case, I'm going to have a weird, Emmy trivia tab open, just in case. Earl Warren, American Politician.
Wow.
Yeah,
that
was...
wild. Yeah. Wow.
That's not Cokie Roberts' father. Never mind.
No.
Well, Earl. I am wrong.
You are wrong. You are wrong. Clarence. Now, I put these in an order. You just so happen to get this question. Julian Fellowes' The Gilded Age might be one of the most nominated dramas of the year. What stage production did Julian Fellowes not work on? A. Titanic the musical. B. Mary Poppins. C. School of Rock. Or D, The Wind in the Willows?
Well, I know he did Titanic. I think he did Titanic. And the second one was... what was the second
one?
Mary Poppins. I think he did that one. I actually think he did School of Rock. So I'm going to go with the Wind in the Willows.
So he actually did the... You are also incorrect. He did The Wind in the Willows. He wrote that, but he also did the book for the other two, School of Rock and Mary Poppins. He did a TV miniseries of Titanic in 2012.
He did the miniseries. He didn't do the musical. Okay.
Yes.
I knew he did something with Titanic.
Yes. Yes. All right. Megan. If John Waters lands a guest actor in a comedy series Emmy nomination for his cameo in the fourth season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, it will not be his first Emmy nomination. What category was he previously nominated for in 2008? A. Outstanding Narration. B. Outstanding Cinematography for Nonfiction Programming. C. Outstanding Short Form Comedy or Drama Series. Or D, Outstanding Casting for a Limited or Anthology Series?
I'm going to say narration.
You are incorrect. He, strangely enough, was nominated for Cinematography of a Nonfiction Programming.
Oh, for
he
what?
Did the, for... See, this is the problem. This actually, now that I'm looking at it, I have the tab open. Maybe it's not the right John Waters. So that might be a wash, because I don't think he did something for Meerkat Manor, but...
Let me look it up. I'll look it up right now. Let me
look it up. Like, don't tell me he was... Oh my God, did I fuck up a question? I may have fucked... Well, it's not on his IMDb page. There we go.
Yeah, it isn't on his IMDb page.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's another John Waters.
Different John Waters. God damn it. So I don't know if that question should count.
Okay, can I get a new one?
I guess, but I only have 10 questions. We can cut it off at 8, I guess, with the tiebreaker instead of 10.
That sounds good.
Okay, let's see.
Because we're not going to be needing that tiebreaker.
Okay.
Unless we're breaking a tie from 0-0.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try this one. Squid Game may become the first Korean drama series to vie for the top prize at the Emmys. What was the last Korean series to be nominated for the International Emmy Award for Best Drama Series? Is it A, Mozu? B, The Kingdom of the Winds? C, Mandrake? Or D, Morabito, Guardian of the Spirit?
Mandrake.
No. So Mozu and Morabito, Guardian of the Spirit, are both from Japan. Mandrake is from Brazil. The only South Korean show to be nominated for Best Drama at the International Emmys is The Kingdom of the Winds.
Okay.
All right. Really so hard. For those listening at home, we have a 0-0 tie. All right, Clarence. Steve Martin won his first Emmy for Outstanding Writing Achievement in Comedy, Variety, or Music in 1969. What program did he win for? A, The Sonny and Cher Show. B, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. C, Saturday Night Live. Or D, SCTV Network.
I actually know this answer. Damn it.
I did know this. And I'm thinking... repeat them again.
A, The Sonny and Cher Show. B, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. C, SNL. Or D, SCTV Network.
I think it's Smothers Brothers.
You are correct.
God damn it. Yay! I knew that. Yay! My mom talks about it all the fucking time. She loves it.
Really?
Yes. That's funny. Loves it.
All right, Megan, this is your chance to tie at one. Let's see. What do I want to ask you?
Okay. Oh, wait. No more John Waters questions. No. You can't go pick questions and cater them to her.
Well, okay, fine. I'm just going to do my question. Well, I don't think any of these are catering to anybody.
So. I was going to say, do you really think that South Korean one catered to
that
me?
That is right up your alley, Megan.
Okay. Schmigadoon has a chance to be nominated for Outstanding Music and Lyrics for its first season. Who holds the record for the most nominations in the category with 15? A, Alf Clausen. B, The Lonely Island. C, Buzz Cohan. Or D, Ray Charles.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, hold on. Now I'm like paranoid. I'm going to get something else wrong again. This whole this whole quiz is for shit.
John Waters was cinema.
I know, just Googled I love that.
John Waters Emmy nomination. And I was like, oh, maybe he likes nature. We don't know. fuck. Okay, hold on. I just lost my place. Da-da-da. Okay. Schmigadoon has a chance to be nominated for Outstanding Music and Lyrics for its first season. Who holds the record for the most nominations in the Music and Lyrics category with 15 nominations? A, Alf Clausen. B, The Lonely Island. C, Buzz Cohan. Or D, Ray Charles.
I'm going with Alf Clausen.
You are incorrect.
It's probably Ray Charles. Am I right? Lonely Island.
Buzz Cohan. Yeah, it's Buzz Cohan. He actually has 50 nominations and 6 wins.
Okay.
So Clarence is in the lead with 1. With one. Okay. All right.
Yes, Patricia my score ties the number of questions you got wrong.
Yep, exactly.
Asshole. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Patricia Field was not the costume designer for And Just Like That, but she has been nominated for 5 Emmys for Sex and the City. She was nominated for costuming for one other show. What is that show? A, Emily in Paris. B, Ugly Betty. C, Younger. Or D, The Bold Type.
Ugly Betty.
Dude, you are correct.
Yay! Got I thought it was Emily in Paris.
No.
Oh.
Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris.
But she did. But wasn't she the costume designer for? Oh, she did In Just Like That too. Right. Okay. I was thinking of the original costume designer who did. Got it. Okay.
Well, she actually, hold on. Let me pull it up. According to the Emmy website, because I had thought that she, I thought she was nominated way more than that.
But she doesn't do In Just Like That, right? Or the one who does Emily in Paris does.
She does. Yeah. She wasn't nominated for Emily in Paris. No, she's only been nominated for Sex and the City and Ugly Betty. That's it. Which is a little surprising to me.
Okay. But she could be nominated this year.
I guess. Okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
So let's see. I asked this. No, I don't know how many questions I've asked. Okay. Megan. I think this might be the final round. So Megan.
Oh my God. Die. Okay.
This Is Us heads into its final season. How many nominations has the NBC drama received so far? A, 52. B, 36. C, 27 or D, 39.
I get the worst ones. You have to admit, I got the worst ones. Wait, so it was first was 52, 36, 27, 39. Was that
first
the
entire
order?
Run? Yes.
I'm going to say, this is terrible. 39.
You're correct.
Oh my God. Yay! Thank God.
That was my
God.
Guess too. I'm like 52 is too much, but
yeah,
6 seasons. I mean, 5
and
seasons.
And then you
is a
really
lot.
Confuse you with the 36. It's like, okay, well, 3 off. Like 36, 37, 52, or 20. It's like, okay.
Yeah, well, I guess this is the last question. Maybe.
Okay. But I've lost already.
So. Yes, you've already lost. So this is just a victory lap, I guess.
Okay.
So clearance.
Unless if he gets it wrong, I can get a chance to get it right.
Okay, we're just making up rules as we go.
Okay,
let's find out. okay. What was the only Emmy category that Julia Child's The French Chef won an Emmy for? A, Outstanding Informational Series. B, Achievements in Educational Television. C, Special Classification of Outstanding Program and Individual Achievement. Or D, Outstanding Culinary Program. Yes, all of those sound exactly alike.
So it wouldn't have been Outstanding Culinary Program because it didn't have them back then. The one about information. I don't know. The Outstanding Informational Program.
No.
No.
Which one was that? What letter was that?
That was A.
Okay. Can I guess?
I guess Megan has a chance to steal.
C. I think it's C.
You are incorrect.
God damn it.
The only Emmy it won was for Achievements in Educational Television. I'm going to ask another question. Okay, so the score was 2-1. This is just a random other question that I thought of. Patricia Arquette may be nominated for Severance this year. In 2005, she won her first Emmy Award for Medium, and she beat out Glenn Close, Frances Conroy, Jennifer Garner, and Mariska Hargitay. How many collective Emmy nominations have all of the losers accumulated in their careers? Who can get it the closest?
Oh my lord.
Oh my god. Wait, so that's Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska Hargitay. Allison. Okay. No, it's Glenn Close, Mariska Hargitay, Frances Conroy, and Jennifer Garner. They've all been nominated for multiple Emmys.
Okay.
Like, throughout their whole career, what would be the total for all four of those women currently? Who can guess the most without going over? You win nothing.
Wait, who was the first one again?
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close. Wait, keep going. I'm missing one.
Glenn Close, Jennifer Garner, Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, okay.
Frances Conroy.
I'm going to say 18.
Clarence.
Oh, no. I'm going to say it's higher than that for sure, because Glenn Close has like 10 by herself. Yeah, but so I'm going to say...
Yeah, that's, I did actually factor in 10 for Glenn Close. Okay. So.
Well, I will say 19.
You price I'm going to price it right you. 32.
I won.
So Glenn that's Close not, has...
Wait, I didn't know we were doing the the Price is Right thing.
So Glenn Close has been nominated for 14. Mariska Hargitay has been nominated for 8. Frances Conroy has been nominated for 6. And believe it or not, Jennifer Garner has been nominated for 4.
Oh, I figured she was just 1. That's what I guessed. I don't know.
He said multiple.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I still wouldn't have guessed in the 30s. I thought maybe in the 20s, but I just went the Price is Right route.
Yeah. All right, that's all the time we have for Joey Made's Up Really Stupid Questions.
I want that again, Joan Waters one back. I feel like I should get that as a point.
Okay, well, then you both tie. You get a participation trophy.
You shamed me publicly.
Oh, please. I've done worse to you.
I know you have.
All right. Megan, let's move on to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And we'll let you go first.
Sure. So Tuesday, I'm looking forward to watching the thing called Pam.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to go the thing about Pam. Is it the thing about Pam?
I don't think it's the thing called Pam.
It's the thing about Pam. Yeah. I thought it was the thing called Pam. I got mixed up. The thing about Pam. I really love that show. I think, I know that people hate.
I like it too.
I think she does a great job. I hate her so much. Like that. I mean, that's just tells you how much her character is just vile. But she does a great, I've never seen her do anything quite like this before, but I kind of put it on par with like Nurse Betty, even though Nurse Betty was such a likable character, but it's like that dark satirical show, that kind of thing. And I was listening to an interview with her and Keith Morrison, who hosts Dateline. And it was really interesting about how she had like binged the podcast and then like took an interest in it. So I really love it. I think it's great. And I'm excited to be watching like network TV again. And Abbott Elementary, I'm also loving that. I think that's on Tuesdays, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. So. And Wednesday Survivor, Thursday. I'm going through the whole week. Yeah. Well, Severance, I binged it over the weekend. Its finale is Friday, season finale, and I think it's a really strong Emmy contender, especially for Below the Line, like production design, music. Oh my gosh, the cast is great. I just really really enjoy it, and so that's the finale's Friday. Thursday, Atlanta. I'm watching Atlanta again. It's great this season. I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, I'm going to Deep Creek, Maryland this weekend. So we're celebrating my dad's 70th birthday. So we're all getting together and we're excited about that.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Yeah. And I guess let's just continue to read the Martin Short book. That's about it.
Joey?
Well, I'm going to try to watch better movies this weekend because I saw a bunch of stinkers. I watched The Bubble.
I heard that was not very good.
It was so dumb. Some of it was actually a little funnier than I expected, but it's like 2 hours and 10 minutes. And I'm
but they all jet out of town.
I know. And it's just like why? That. Why? Yeah. And I watched.
These kids are in it too, right?
Yeah. I watched the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre and why.
Right.
And I didn't like that. I watched Windfall, which I actually kind of enjoyed until it goes like super crazy at the end. And I will attest that Jesse Plemons is very attractive. I don't care what anybody says. So I'm going to watch that. I need to keep watching Pachinko, and I need to catch up with Severance. And there's something else I wanted to watch, but I can't remember. Oh, I'm seeing apparently The World's Greatest Movie, because that's what Film Twitter says. I'm going to a press screening of Everything Everywhere All at Once, because I'm supposed to talk to the composer of that movie. And I just watched the trailer again. I think it just looks so crazy. But I mean, it's like finally Film Twitter has a distraction. So they have that movie, which was great. Michelle Yeoh is amazing. So can't wait to watch that.
Excellent. And thank you, Joey, for that quiz, even though we ridicule you as always. But it was a lot of fun. And we learned things.
We did. John Waters has an Emmy.
I know. John Waters apparently was on Meerkat Mansion or some shit. Well, you know.
Meerkat Manor, right?
Whatever.
I do want to add one addendum to my, I'm looking forward to the Dropout finale is Thursday, and I'm looking forward to people seeing it, because it's, I'm probably not allowed to talk about it, but it's great. Whatever. I mean, if I'm saying something good about it, who's going to complain about that?
Well, I mean, it's based on a true story, so I don't know why the finale of a true story would be under embargo, because it's not like we don't know what happens.
It's but true.
Anyway. I echo that as well. It is the culmination on perhaps Amanda Seyfried's career best performance.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, tomorrow night is the NCAA championship game. So a little bit of sports here, because I watched the Duke Carolina game on Saturday night, which was one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. I actually paid attention to the entire thing, which is a lot for me. So the championship game between Kansas and Carolina, in which Kansas will kick Carolina's ass. That is tomorrow night, Monday night, as you are listening to this podcast. I have screeners to Showtime's First Lady limited series starring, which... Can I just say, every now and again, there's a television show that comes along that so captures Joey's attention and mind that he screams out loud when he receives screeners to it. This is one of them.
I was at work talking to somebody. If you don't mind, if I recreate a brief moment, I was talking with a coworker because I've gotten them into my house hunting thing, because everybody else that I work with owns a house, and I don't know. And so every time I come in, they ask, like, you know, how many houses did you look at since I saw you, blah blah blah. So I was talking to a woman that I work with. She was across the room, like, you know, good 15, 20 feet away. I was logging in to all the stuff that I need to log into at work. I pulled up my laptop, opened it. I had my work stuff on the work computer, and I was pulling up my personal email, and it was like connecting to the internet. And this is sort of how the conversation went. I was like, yeah, I'm just really frustrated because, you know, I really like that. I was like, oh my God, the First Lady. It's like really loud. And she was like, what? And I was like, I just got screeners to a show. And she was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, you don't know what a screener is. Let me explain to you. But I like, actually there was also like a little bit of like a Ned Flanders sees purple drapes, high-pitched scream, like, ah, before I screamed that. So I apologize to our listeners' ears as I screamed in their ear, but that's sort of how it went. Not to interrupt.
Yes.
Go on.
So I have screeners for that. I did not scream openly when I received them, but I am excited to watch them as well. I also have screeners to, or will be receiving shortly, screeners to Paramount Plus's The Offer, which is the... Yes. Limited series coming up about the making of The Godfather, which I know some people, once they saw the trailer for it, had ridiculed. I've seen a couple of episodes already. We got an early sneak at it. I really like it. I mean, I kind of like this thing. I like the making of stuff, and I love The Godfather. I don't like all of it, so I'm not going to say it's perfect, but I think there's some really great performances. I don't know how much I can talk about it, but I will say that Matthew Good plays Robert Evans, and it's one of my favorite performances of the year so far.
Ooh.
I'm really looking forward to seeing him because I think he's such an underrated actor.
He is, and he needs a breakout role. And it's sad, it's silly to say that Matthew Good needs a breakout role, but he just doesn't get the attention I think he deserves. And hopefully that this will do it for him.
Yeah.
So those are the screeners this week. Also, over the weekend, the skies parted. The sun shone through.
Oh, God.
Little children wept. Birds flew. Trees blossomed. Because I finally finished all 20 hours of The Evening Star by Larry McMurtry, the sequel to Terms of Endearment.
What?
It is 20 hours on an audiobook. It needed to be about... Yes, I finished the audiobook, finally. I have been listening to it for 2 months. Oh my God. Picking it up and putting it down. Picking it up because it's all about old people having sex. And that it was meandering. But this is a recreation of... this is not as dramatic as your revelation of the First Lady screeners, Joey, but I will say that I was walking down the street just this morning when I finished it. And there's a moment in the last section of the book where Aurora Greenway is great. She meets her great-grandson. And she discovers that he has an affinity for music. He's like 6 months, but music captures his attention in a way that nothing else can. So she shares with him over the course of a couple of pages, you know, her favorite pieces, and she shares with him Brahms' Requiem, and then the book takes the perspective of the child and how one day he was at Granny's and the next day he was not, and his bigs, that's what the children in the book call their adults, bigs, forgot to take him, and they kept forgetting to take him, and what we realize is that when he goes to a park where everybody was visiting, that she has died. And that, you know, it's told from a child's perspective. So that was kind of touching. But then it flashes forward in the last page to this child who is 24 and living in New York and goes to a concert. And all of a sudden at this concert, they play Brahms' Requiem. And he breaks down. I'm walking down the street. I just burst into tears. And I was like, what is going on with me? And it must have, like, the 20 hours must have worn into me. It must have, I must have liked the book better than I thought I did. But I was so happy maybe to finish it that I burst into tears.
Wow.
Anyway, now I'm going to watch the movie because it is a movie I've never seen. So I'm very interested to see how they distilled all 20 hours of this into a 2-hour movie. It is not critically acclaimed, to say the least. Which probably explained a whole lot considering what they started from. So anyway, long way of saying I finished the audiobook. I'm going to now pick up The Maid by Nita Prose, which it's an audiobook. I was just going to read the description because, Joey, this sounds like something that you should pick up the next time you're in Target, because I assume that it is in Target. forgive me. It's basically described as Clue.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Where's the quote? A clue like locker room mystery and a heartwarming journey of the spirit. That is what it was described as. Oh, here we go. A twist and turn whodunit set in a 5-star hotel from the perspective of the maid who finds the body. Think Clue, think page turner. That's a quote from Glamour.
Wow.
So that's only 9 hours long. It seems like a brief stint compared to the epic 20 hours of The Evening Star.
Wow.
Sasha just turned me on to a excellent podcast, oddly narrated by Donnie Wahlberg, Very Scary People, which dives into the events of the Amityville Horror House.
Oh, yeah. I saw her talking about that. Actually, my friend grew up right near the house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I don't know if they're going to get into the haunting piece of it, but it's definitely starting around the DeFeo murders. I've only listened to the first episode. It does a fantastic job of setting you in that environment and setting you in just that idyllic, very well-to-do neighborhood and how just completely gutting that murder was. And like, there was even details I didn't know, like when they're taking the bodies For people who don't know, the DeFeo family was murdered in his house, and of course, that then became rumored to be haunted. Two parents, a 18-year-old girl, another girl, I don't remember her age, an 11-year-old boy and a 9-year-old boy. One of the boys, they were taking the bodies out of the house. I mean, they were shot literally almost to the face. One of the bodies fell off the stretcher in front of the onlookers who were standing in front of the house. So they all got to see this little kid's mutilated face. Yeah. It's a very good podcast. So I would highly recommend that. That's it. And next week, I believe that Joey and Megan are going to be joined by Jalal, and they're going to talk about God knows what, but I will not be here because I will be on vacation.
Oh, that's right. Spring break. Woo.
Spring break. Woohoo. So, yeah. So you guys, our listeners have that to look forward to, which I'm sure will be a fantastic conversation. I'm sorry I will not be here to have it, but I'm not going to dial in from my vacation. It's also my wife's birthday next Monday night, so I will not be available.
Happy birthday, Lane.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
All right. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.